Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 26. Father, thank you so much for this time in your Word. Speak to our hearts. Break open your Word. But most importantly, we pray that it will break open our hearts, that we might serve you, Lord, more faithfully. Help us, Lord, we pray, to look to you. And to help us to live this life you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 14, verses 10 through 26. The title of this message is Betraying Jesus. Betraying Jesus. Now, dictionary.com defines betray as to be unfaithful in guarding, maintaining, or fulfilling. To betray a trust. And today we're going to see what led Judas to betray Jesus. What was his motive? And what can betraying Jesus cause us to do? I believe that these verses answer these important questions that we're going to look at. Look at verses 10 through 10 and 11. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. What caused Judas to want to betray Jesus? I believe that Judas was disappointed with him. He was just rebuked by Jesus in the previous verses for talking about Mary's act of worship when she broke open the box of perfume and poured it on the feet of Jesus. Judas said that she wasted the perfume on him and could have sold that perfume for 300 denarii and given to the poor. You know, 300 denarii, we talked about that last week. That was a year's salary. See, that Judas said that money was a waste. That perfume was a waste. We could have just given that to the poor. And John's gospel said that he really didn't care about the poor, but that he was a thief. And he used to take the money that was in the box. And I also believe that Judas was disappointed with Jesus because, as some scholars suggest, that Judas was a part of a radical group called the Zealots that used to use hand-to-hand combat to try to overthrow the Roman soldiers. So he was ready for Jesus to establish the kingdom, to overthrow the Romans. But when these things didn't happen, he was disappointed and sought to betray him. Verse 11 says that they promised to give him money. It was in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 26, verse 15, that says that it was 30 pieces of silver that they promised to give him. The price of a slave. In other words, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. The same is true for all of us. When we get disappointed with Jesus, we will be tempted to sell out. Many people who have come to Jesus, not because they're sorry for their sin, they came to Jesus for the benefits of salvation. They came to Jesus because they were told that Jesus would bless them on their job. So they came to Jesus looking for that blessing, and instead they got fired or laid off. Someone else heard that if they came to Jesus, he would bring their marriage back together. So what happened? They got a divorce. If we aren't careful, a Judas mentality will creep into our lives and we will sell out. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. At what price will you sell out for? Will you sell your relationship with Jesus out for a job? What about for a promotion? What about a relationship? Whether you believe it or not, you're sitting next to, behind, or in front of someone who is selling Jesus out for one of these reasons. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a price that you would sell Jesus out for? And many of you are thinking, no way, no way. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let every man take heed how he stands, lest he fall. James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and desires and enticed. So we need to make sure and search our own hearts and ask, do we have a price? See, many of you say, I don't have a price. We're going to come back to that. Look what it says in verses 12 through 21. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he went, he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And then he will show you a large furnished upper room. Go and prepare and there make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Surely I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, "Is it I?" Another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said, "It is the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." Now, in these verses, we see that Jesus was about to celebrate one of the Jewish festivals called Passover. He sends two of his disciples out to prepare things for the occasion. He tells them in verse 13 that they will see a man carrying a pitcher of water, follow him to the place where we will eat. Now, this will be easy to spot because carrying water was the job of women. So a man carrying a jar of water would have stood out from the crowd. Many scholars suggest that the large upper room that verse 15 talks about was the home owned by Mary, the mother of John Mark, the author of this gospel that we're studying. It is also believed to be the same upper room that the disciples met in on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1. Verse 18 says that as they sat and ate, now they will eat unleavened bread like verse 12 tells us. And as you know, leaven is yeast. Leaven is always a symbol of evil and symbol of sin in the Bible. Leaven or yeast causes dough to rise through the rotting process. As the yeast rots, it releases tiny bubbles that permeates and causes the dough to rise. So during the Passover, the Jews would eat unleavened bread to show that the leaven or sin has been purged from their lives. The Apostle Paul, he picks up on this idea when he's talking to the church of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Purge out the old leaven that they may become a new lump." The same is true for us, that we need to purge out the leaven in our lives. The phrase "purge out" comes from a compound Greek word, ekathero, which means to clean out or to cleanse thoroughly. Now, why is this needed? Seeing that leaven is small and works secretly and spreads, there are little things we have secretly allowed back into our lives that are starting to spread into other areas as well. Leaven is like secret sins that we don't want anyone to know about, but we're able to see it because it's affecting the way that we talk. It's affecting the places that we now go and the things that we now watch on TV or the movies we go watch and see. Things that the Lord has once purged out of our lives just not that long ago, now we're starting to allow just a little leaven to come back in. And now it's starting to affect other areas. You can always tell the things that you have been meditating on lately, the things you've been watching lately, because it would affect the way you speak. It would affect the places you go. It would affect the things that you watch, things that once was purged out. Now you're starting a little at a time, just a little bit. You know, it only takes a little bit of yeast to cause the dough to rise. And you just allow just a little bit back in. And now it's starting to permeate other areas. You know, David understood this in his own life when he said in Psalm 19, verse 12, he says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." And I believe that many of us need to be cleansed from secret faults, because like leaven, it's starting to spread into other areas and causing our lives to rot. So they ate unleavened bread at the Passover celebration. Verse 18 also said that Jesus told them that one of them would betray him. I love how verse 19 said that all of them began to be sorrowful and say, "Is it I?" In other words, all of them had the potential of betraying Jesus. You would think that Judas stood out. When Jesus said, "One of you will betray me," they would say, we know it's Judas. Judas, fess up. Fess up, Judas. But no, all of them began to say, "Is it I?" Because they realized all of them had the potential of betraying Jesus. I believe this question is something we need to ask ourselves. Is it I? Am I the betrayer? Have I become Judas lately? Or am I Judas right now? All of us have been Judas, selling out for pleasure, selling out for materialism, selling out for money, selling out for love. All of us have been Judas, because whether we want to admit it or not, we have a price. The price to achieve material gain, the price to achieve pleasure, the price to achieve love. All of us have a price, and we don't want to admit it or not. We want to try to sit here all holy and sanctimonious. But we all have a price that unfortunately we will sell Jesus out for. Verse 20 says that Jesus answered their question of who would betray him. And he said, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish." John 13 verse 27 says that Jesus dips a piece of bread in the dish and gives it to Judas and told him, "What you do, do quickly." You know what amazes me about this? That meant that Judas was either to the right or to the left of Jesus. He was close enough where Jesus can dip it and hand it right to him and tell him, "That what you do, do quickly." That lets me know it is people, the people that are closest to us, will be the people that will betray us the deepest. Right next to them. That's why betrayal is so hurtful to us, because it always comes from people closest to us, like a Judas. Someone we think is on our side. Someone we think that is there to help us, to assist us, to help us do whatever it is. They'd be the ones who turn against us. That's why betrayal is so hurtful. It comes from people closest to us. You know, something else that's in John 13, verse 27. It says, after Jesus dipped it and put, you know, and dipped it in the dish and gave it to Judas, it says that Satan entered Judas. Not a demon. Satan himself entered Judas. That blows me away. Demon possession is very real. It's a very real thing, and it's not just something Hollywood made up to entertain us. The amazing thing in my generation, I grew up, you know, where scary movies, horror movies would come out around Halloween time. That was it. And, you know, growing up, you know, in the 70s and stuff, you know, the biggest, you know, thing that we saw was The Exorcist. That was the, you know, I wouldn't watch it. I have a vivid imagination. I have a vivid imagination. I go watching some stuff like that. After it goes off, I'm looking around. Don't let it be raining. Oh. Because I am sure that particular head spinning around and stuff like that is in the next room or under my bed or in the closet. And they're going to come out right when I least expect it. I could not. And to this day, I don't know how some of you do it. You take God's hard-earned money and you go and pay to be entertained by it. I don't know how you do that. You boast about your collection that you have, and you receive I don't know how y'all do. My imagination is too vivid. It's too, I would just be freaking out. And every creak. I will be weirded out. But some of you receive entertainment. Entertainment.
Oh, that was a good one. I was scared to death in there.
When there's verses that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, and I was scared to death. Really? I don't get it. So demon possession is a very real thing. It's not something Hollywood is just, you know, just making up to entertain us. And a person, Satan cannot just bully somebody and say, I'm coming in. You know, Satan stands right in front of you and said, I'm about to come in you. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, he can't do that. He has to be invited. And a person opens themselves up through dabbling into that which is the occult, that which is satanic. And that's why I say you better watch your teenagers. You better know what they're watching. Know what they're doing in that room when that door is closed. You better know, parent. You better have the rule. There's no locking doors in my house. I take that door off the hinges. Boop, boop. Beep, 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 beep. Put it right in the garage. You're giving your children too much leeway. Too much leeway. There's no locking doors. I give you the courtesy to knock. Knock, but I'm coming in. What you looking at? What you watching? We didn't play that in our house. No locking door. We like, don't lock this door right now. Or we got, you know, the little key above the slot. You know, kick, we're in there. And that's the thing that we need to see. Is that the enemy is very, very subtle. There are some things that are blatant. That he does it. It's just really Satan. You see that's Satan. Well, there are some things that's very subtle. People dabble in, they open themselves up. But see, here's the thing. As a person opens themselves up, they're still responsible. They're still responsible. And how do we know that? Because we see that they're responsible like Judas was responsible. Verse 21 says, the Son of Man is going just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. See, that speaks of responsibility. Look at verses 22 to 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, went out to the Mount of Olives. When they sung a hymn, you know, what did they sing? What a fellowship, you know, what a joy. I mean, what hymn did they sing? You know, Amazing Grace, you know, they went out. The Psalms were the Jewish people's hymn book. Yeah, you understand that. So they sung, you know, probably around Psalms 116 to 118 is probably the Psalms that they sung at that particular time. But I want to show you something. I love it how Jesus gives his disciples. Notice that he gives them the bread first. Then the cup. I would have thought that he would have given them the cup, then the bread. You said, so what's the big deal? What's the difference? Well, see, the cup represents the blood of Christ and how the blood cleanses us from our sin. The bread represents his body. It represents Jesus Christ. Jesus gives them the bread himself first. Showing us that he will come in us just the way we are. Then he will cleanse us with his blood, the cup. See, this is so important because a lot of people have it backwards. You've heard people say, maybe some of you are here today. You've said it yourself. Well, let me clean up my life first. Then I will invite Jesus to come into it. Jesus will say, no, invite me to come in your life first, then I will clean it up. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 1:9 that says how the believers turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Notice that it doesn't say that they turn from idols to God. That is impossible. You cannot turn from your idols to God, but you can turn to God and he will take the idols out of your life. An idol is anything that you put in front of God. It can be a person. It can be a place. It can be a thing. It can be a hobby. It can be a habit. It doesn't matter. You place it in front of God. It has now become an idol. I had one lady walk out after first service. She said, you know what? School has been an idol for me because I've placed that in front of God. Now, see, here's the thing. A person, a place, or a thing in and of itself is not wrong. School in and of itself is not wrong. But anything that you place in front of God becomes an idol. And she recognized that school had become an idol for her because she's placed it in front of God. See, there's nothing wrong. There's some of you who go to school and it's not in front of God. You don't place that in front of God. You still here. You come to church. You're serving. You're doing your thing. Hey, it's not an idol for you. But she said for her. She said for her. School had become an idol for her. And she recognized that. What is it for you? You were serving God. You're single, serving the Lord. All of a sudden, since that man been in your life, is it wrong having a man in your life? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But when he becomes an idol, or that lady for you men, oh, I gotta have her, or you got her, and now she's become an idol for you. Some guys right now squirming. Because you understand that person sitting next to you is your idol. You've placed it in front of God. God said, you shall have no other gods before me. He said, I'm not going to have it. But when you come to him, he'll take the idols out of your life. And because, see, the Lord wants you to first be content with him. Be content with him. Before you start bringing other things and folks in your life. Are you content with being single? I don't know who it is the Lord's speaking to. Are you content with being single? You won't be content when you're married. Are you content with being married? See, the problem is that we allow these things into our lives, and the Lord loves us so much and he has such great plans for us, that he will share these things with us and bring it to light. And that's what he's doing right now. I don't know who it is. I didn't even say this first service. I don't know who it is. The Lord's speaking to some folks. I don't know about singleness. I don't know who it is. You know who it is. You're trying to hide behind a person's head so I don't look at you. But you forgot I sit up high and I can see it, all of it. Let me just say this. This is why I believe that Jesus gave them the bread first, then the cup, because he will come into our lives just the way we are, and then he will cleanse it. Some of you need that today. Some of you need that. Because you came here today and said, well, this is my first journey of me trying to clean up my life, get my life right. Here's how many people say that going out the door. I'm just trying to get my life right. No, 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 no. Invite Jesus to come in. Invite him to come in first. And he will get your life right. There's many people that's around you right now that he's done that for. And he'll do the same for you. Let me conclude with this. We saw how Judas was disappointed with Jesus and he eventually betrayed him. We saw how being disappointed with Jesus will cause us to sell out. And when we sell out, we will start to allow leaven into our lives that will begin to spread to other areas. The way we talk, the places we go, the things we do. We end up with these secret faults that we hope and pray aren't exposed. If this is you, if the Lord has been speaking to any of you, you need to come to Jesus today and allow him to cleanse you of these things. He loves you and wants your life to bear fruit for his kingdom. He doesn't want to see you selling out. He has plans for you. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord, the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And as long as we're allowing leaven in our lives and selling out, we cannot fulfill all that God has for our lives. God has plans for you. Does he want to use me? Yes, he does. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Allow him to cleanse you of these things you have now allowed back in your life. Things you once been purged of. You allow him back into your life. Allow him to cleanse you of those things. There's going to be some people up here available to pray with you about these things. Let them pray with you so you can walk out of here with joy and peace and believing and knowing that God has a plan, that you're on the right path, the path that he wants you to be on. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. We are so grateful that you love us and you share these things with us. And Lord, we pray that you will move in our hearts and move in our lives today. Lord, thank you so much. You love us enough to share these things with us. Share these things, Lord, and point out the leaven and idols that are in our lives. Do a work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.